We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello! Welcome to episode 30 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am managing editor at pixelkin.org, and I'm joined by fellow mom, Linda Brenneman.
Hello.
And adorable assassin, Simone de Rochefort.
Yes.
See, I told you it was nice.
I do like that.
And then we're joined today by Leonard Kenyon, who is an artist in games, and he has most recently worked on a game called Go to Bed with a Pixelkin writer, Nathan Minet. So, thanks for coming on, Leonard.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we're going to get things started like we always do with news. Big news this week, Activision bought King. King is the developer of Candy Crush Saga for $5.8 or $9 billion.
It was a big billion. It was too many billions. More billions than I'll see in my life. More billions than I can comprehend.
It was more billions than Microsoft bought Minecraft for. That's how huge it was.
So who plays Candy Crush? Leonard, do you play?
I did. I ended up deleting it because it was driving me insane. Yeah. I couldn't play anymore.
It does that. It's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
Well, I heard someone – or I saw someone on Twitter saying that it might not just be for the games that Activision is buying King, but also for the broad, expansive data that they have now access to.
I believe,
thousands, millions of people who play those games.
Right.
And spend money on those games. Why do we spend money on those games?
Yeah. I think they know way too much about me.
Well, see, the problem with this ultimately is that now next time Skylanders comes out, Activision is just going to own my soul. So, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, the interesting thing, too, is that so far Activision has kind of been the publisher that has not touched that space, really the free-to-play type market. And I think they're being very smart, kind of saying, we don't know what we were doing, so we should not start right now because we're way behind the game. So it's like, let's buy somebody who knows what they're doing.
King.
Yes. Yeah.
The publisher.
They are really good at that. You know, I have found myself paying a little more. I mean, when I play a game a lot, I don't mind paying once in a while.
Yeah,
it just totally makes sense to me. But I have bought a couple things a couple times where I went, why did I do that? You know, I mean, they're really good at getting you to pony up some money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they do it well.
Ring in the stone.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if they'll be able to work in – if they'll have Activision properties that pop in there. Oh, I said nobody does that. Blizzard with Hearthstone does free-to-play, but that's very different. The card battling is very different from the match-three.
On the subject of card battling, I should mention that Skylanders is getting their first mobile game next year, which is another card battling game like Hearthstone. So the King purchasing, the looking at apps and free-to-play and all that stuff does make sense considering that they are starting to move into mobile with one of their biggest franchises.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
fun for you.
Rest in peace. Me.
Simone is our Toys to Life expert, so she gets to play with Skylanders and Disney Infinity.
I wrote
Infinity
the book on Toys to Life.
So... So other big news this week, Nintendo announced their first mobile app, which I think everybody thought was going to be a game, and it is not a game, which is very disappointing.
You really fell for that.
yeah, for sure. I mean, in hindsight, I was like, yeah, that's probably the best way to go for them to test it.
They're not really?
Just not going to throw like Mario out there and have it be a failure. So
Yeah.
So this is called, is it Miitomo?
Miitomo, yeah.
Miitomo. You make a Mii, you answer some questions about that Mii. I think it's kind of like what your interests are. And then that Mii goes out and talks to other Miis for you, has conversations. and then I guess come back and tells you what it said.
Yeah.
It's a really odd kind of thing.
It's kind of like Tomodachi Life meets, I don't know, less actual people, because you can only talk to people who are on your friends list, which was kind of disappointing, because when we first heard about it, Courtney was like, it's Tinder for kids. And I laughed at that, but it's
That's not
Tinder for
funny.
Kids. I mean, I didn't laugh. I started penning an angry op-ed.
Right, yeah.
But then I was like, no, you can only talk to people that you're friends with on, you know, the Nintendo Network. So, which in Courtney's case, she's like, but I have like two friends. So her conclusion was that even though it does sound like not the most engaging idea, it does make her want to add more friends on her list, because then there she'll have a reason to play with the app some more. But I don't know if – we'll see, I guess, if that's a long-term kind of compelling way to interact with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nintendo's – like their reasoning for it is they said that they want it to be a tool for people who are kind of shy about talking to other people. And it's like, well, if you only have people on your friends list, I would assume that you talk to those people in real life. I mean,
that's my thought too. It's like, well, the people on my friends list, I don't know. I have Facebook, I have Twitter, I have Instagram, I have email, I have any number of other ways to talk to them. Why do I need a new Nintendo specific way? But if it's going to be like cute interactions, like the Miis having weird little conversations with each other, that could be pretty funny. Like some of the stuff I've seen come out of Tomodachi Life is adorable and ridiculous. And I think that's the attraction. So
yeah,
we'll see if Miitomo is similar.
You know, if they have people writing that like write the Animal Crossing dialogue from the animals, that would be really great, because those are hilarious. And Keezy had a really good eye too. She's like, idea. She was talking about like using
She does have a good eye. She's an artist.
She does. That's right. She was talking about using it to role play a little bit,
yeah.
And it would be cool if, like, you're in a role-playing game with your friends, and so your me is, like, your turn, and then you send it out, and then people respond to it, and I thought that was a really cool idea.
That could be
idea.
Pretty cute.
Yeah, yeah, play a tabletop role-playing game with your me's.
Long distance on your phones.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband plays pen and paper role-playing game now with his friends back in Chicago via Skype.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Do they do video chatting with it too, or just like over
the
phone?
I'm pretty sure it's video chatting.
Nice.
I never knew how they actually played that, because when I first met Isaac, he was playing one. I was staying with him in Chicago, and I sort like he sort of said, like, I do this thing on Saturday nights, so I can't do anything with you from X to X.
Yeah.
And I was asked to just stay in the room and just do my own thing and not come out and interfere with what was going on. So those are like, you know, you're supposed to say things in your character all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it could be embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, so I forgot my sheet of other news. Let's see if I can remember.
It's under my computer.
Oh, good.
Let me move my coffee.
Yes. Oh, here I thought I forgot it. There it is.
No, Nicole, you're not that brain dead.
That's because I forget everything now. Yeah, so heads up, Leonard, when you have a kid, your memory's going to go a little bit. So more women own consoles than men. I thought this was super exciting. Yeah. It's like men are like 42% and women are like 51%.
What consoles was it counting?
I think it was county. You know what? I have no idea. I don't think that was in Keezy's article. Maybe it was.
I was really surprised by it.
Yeah.
Those numbers, actually.
Definitely.
Just in my circle, you know, it's all guys.
Yeah.
But is it counting girlfriends who've bought consoles for their deadbeat boyfriends?
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Like, I definitely don't doubt that a lot of women own consoles, but I'm also wondering, you know, are they counting mothers who are buying for their families, things
right.
like that? Like,
yeah.
who is owning a console if it is a group console? Like, certainly in my household, we're a mixed gender household, but I'm the one who owns the PS4. It would be mine. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. The other thing that they found in that study was that people with some college education were more likely than people with no college education or a full degree to own consoles.
Right.
Which you can make a pretty sad and terrible distinction there. Like, yes. Games make people drop out of college.
There we go. That's our stance on consoles as of today. I don't know. I'm sure people are probably like buying consoles. I mean, when you go to college, presumably it's one of the first times in your life when you have some income, either because you're working or you're getting financial aid. I bet a lot of people, after getting out on their own, buy a console without having a degree yet.
Yeah. The other thing we were trying to say, too, is that especially with tech, lots of people drop out of college because they have a job already and there's no reason to finish their degree.
Yeah.
Isaac is like that. He doesn't have a degree because he started working at a game company. It's been fine.
Yeah.
And that's true for lots of programmers. Lots and lots of programmers.
Yeah, definitely.
I know a lot of people like that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool, but studies, you know, they are what they are.
It definitely at least shows that there is parity, I think, in gender ownership of consoles, which, duh, because women play games. Look at this podcast. I'm glad that those numbers are out there.
I think it is kind of common to think, though, that women only play mobile games, and that's just not true.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's cool.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Simone.
What?
We have Disney Infinity and Lego Dimensions both this week announced a whole bunch of expansions.
I forgot that that was on the news.
Tell us about those expansions.
So another wave of Disney Infinity figures is out, and they're putting out new versions of some of the Marvel superheroes for Disney Infinity 3.0. And the ones that came out this week are Ultron from Age of Ultron and the Hulkbuster version of Iron Man, which in Age of Ultron, that's the version of Iron Man where he like gets super big and buff and to take down the Hulk, who is destroying a city, because why not? So that's out now for Disney Infinity 3.0. I can talk. And then they also released an amiibo. Oh, my God. A figurine.
Yeah, now you're just, Activision and Nintendo. You're just...
Breaking news. Yes. Activision buys Disney. Right. So they released a new figurine from the movie The Good Dinosaur, which is the new Disney Pixar movie. Oh, my God, you guys. So I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it's this kid named Spot. And they don't have the dinosaur. I don't know why. This kid named Spot, who acts like a dog, and the figurine creeps me out so much. He's like sitting on his haunches like a dog and grinning, but he's a kid.
Oh.
And he's like a caveman child, and it freaks me out. Buy this figure.
Is the movie out?
I believe
out
it is. I think I saw it on a marquee when I was wandering the other day.
Anna. Well, the trailer that I saw for it is actually pretty funny. It's like, you know, an asteroid hit Earth and like killed all the dinosaurs, and the thing is like, what if that asteroid missed Earth and didn't kill the dinosaurs? Like, what would life be like after that? And
which
it shows
I'm all
you
about.
It shows you a little kid like riding on a brontosaurus.
Again, that's what I'm all about.
Which is super which looks super cute. So the funny thing in the trailer is that when they show there's a bunch of dinosaurs in dark night sky, and they show the asteroid just kind of swinging by and all the dinosaurs kind of look up and go, huh, and then they go back to what they were doing. It's really, really funny.
That's how it should have been.
Yeah. So that trailer obviously ran before Inside Out.
Of course,
so
of course. I don't doubt that it'll be a good movie because Disney Pixar. I'm just
it's
saying.
Wonderful.
Little dog children.
Yeah.
Freak me out.
You know, this this movie has actually been in development for a long time. Yeah, it was sort of like this Pixar. It was like a side project
a
type thing
secret.
That just never really got, like, the funding, or they came up with other ideas that they wanted to push more.
Huh.
So yeah, it's been like 4 years or something that it's been in development.
Dang. Okay, cool.
Which is why, you know, since it's so long, now it's finished, that's why you're seeing two Pixar movies this year. Original Pixar movies. This is how Pixar works. Original, sequel. Original, sequel.
So I still haven't seen Inside Out. I know, I'm a failure. Continuing the Disney Infinity news, they also released a power disc pack for the Good Dinosaur. So those are the little modifications for your toy box. And Darth Maul. Whatever. There's a Darth Maul figure. Yay.
Lego.
Linda, I'm sorry. You wrote about the Lego expansion packs. You should.
Oh, it's all about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And Ninjago.
Yeah, so they finally released the Doctor Who level pack for LEGO Dimensions. So that's where you can buy, I think it comes with a Doctor Who themed level and then a few of the figurines as well, including the 12th Doctor, which is not my favorite, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I thought it was funny when they announced the plot of the Doctor Who, you know, new level.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded like the generic plot of every single Doctor Who TV episode that was ever made. I was like, yeah, okay, that's what happens, right?
Yeah.
Seems so legit.
Yeah. No, it looked good, though, because you could get all 12 Doctors.
Nice.
Cool.
With
that's
the one
important
figure.
You got to collect. Are you a Doctor Who fan, Leonard?
No, I'm not. I have friends that are mad about it, but I have not taken the time. It's a big investment.
It's
a really big investment.
It is.
So many years. The first Doctor Who was in black and white, or is in black and white in the game. It's kind of funny.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Was it in black and white when it was on TV? Was it that long
ago? Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
It was forever ago.
Yeah, yeah, I've never seen any of them and don't really have any inclination to do that. Final news story, League of Legends is getting a really big update next year. They are adding tons and tons of stuff. So one of the things, and I know little about this because my husband plays, so if I'm wrong, you can write a little letter to us and tell me I'm wrong.
to hello@pixelkin.org.
Exactly. Yeah. But one of the things they were talking about is, like, you know, you have to pick the certain lanes that you play in, the top, the middle, the bottom. And, like, lots of times if you join a game, you can miss out on getting the one that you like. And so this time they're going to have, like, multiple of each one that you can pick. So you will always get at least one of the things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
So before you choose your character, you're going to be choosing your preferred role and then your preferred secondary role. And Riot said that you'll at least get one of those, definitely. And then one of the roles is fill, which is just, you know, put me in whatever position needs to be filled. So hopefully, you know, it'll all kind of even out with everyone getting what role they want to be in. And then you choose your character. Who are you waving at? And then after you choose your role, you choose your character. So you can kind of then match the character that you're choosing to the role that is appropriate for it, which is really important in League of Legends.
Yeah, and they're also having they're having keys and, like, treasure chests.
Oh, God, there's a billion things. We launched a whole freaking pop-up site for all the things that they're changing. Yeah, they're adding basically a crafting system. So they're mastery chests, and then you're collecting key fragments and keys. And, you know, if you get enough key fragments, you get to craft a key, and then you open your chest, and you can get, they said, it could be something like a permanent skin for your character. It could just be a character rental for 7 days. A lot of just new opportunities to get loot and things like that. So,
yeah. Well,
I know. It's massive. I spent literally like an hour just combing through the site today trying to just note down all the things that they're changing. It is incredible what they're doing. I mean, to a game that already has basically 50 million players, they are just doing this massive overhaul to make it an even better experience, which,
Did you see any reaction? I mean, sometimes...
Oh, the comments were really positive. Oh, like, everyone's super, super excited about it, especially the character selection. The change in that is really exciting. I didn't see what the response to the social aspects that they're adding are, but they're basically...
they changed something about the chat, too.
They're adding an app where you can chat with your League of Legends friends and to help you kind of organize when you want to play with them and help the matchmaking process. They're also adding clubs for kind of the same purpose, and the club chat is persistent and will last, like, across login sessions.
Yeah.
And then there are parties that are, you know, that chat starts when you log in, and you can have a party with your friends, and then it'll end when you log out. So,
lots of stuff.
That's good. I'm glad people
are excited.
The freaking client.
Everyone's really excited.
Yeah. I looked at that site too. It's kind of crazy to comb through.
Yeah,
it's centered paragraphs of text, center aligned. Mm-hmm. There's an image, and then there's more center aligned text. Yeah, it's like somebody just smacked a site together in like 2 seconds. They're like, oh, this update is really long. We need to put a site up. Go.
I can't even imagine how long they've been working on all these changes. Like, It's massive, as I said, 7,000 times.
So it's coming next year, but we don't know the exact date.
Yeah, the new client that they're building, they're going to have an alpha test sometime next year. I believe a lot of the changes that they're making, like having new starting items and changing the stats of some of the marksman characters, those are happening in the 2016 preseason. And the League of Legends World Championships just ended last week, if I'm not wrong. Congratulations, the South Korean team, SKT1, who won that. I'm rambling. Gosh. So, yeah, I don't know
I'm just very impressed that you remember the name of the team. I mean, I looked at that article. I think I may have wrote that article for Remeshed, and yet
– I wrote that article.
Oh, did you? I don't remember. Oh, Mortal Kombat. I was writing about the Mortal Kombat one, so
– yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Big update for League if you're a fan. Definitely keep an eye out for that.
Sorry I just like spewed nonsense for what feels like 10 minutes.
No. No,
that's fine. It's fine. League players totally going to understand that. I pretty much understand it, and I've only played League for, I don't know, a couple days. So
I've never even heard of it.
How bad is that? Oh, my God. Leave.
I know. I feel like I should. I've never – I have no idea. You are so excited, and I've never even heard
of it. Wow.
So I honestly
don't – I'm checking on my phone like, what is this here?
Yeah, it's a massive team strategy game, tower defense strategy game. So people get in teams of five, and they try to take down the opponent's towers and then destroy their home base and
But the important thing is that there are 50 million players.
Yes. And that it's free to play.
Yes.
It's free. And they make hella bank off it.
Yeah.
So,
and it's an esports thing now.
Yeah.
So people are competitive.
With big prize money.
Yeah. All right. Leonard, I'm going to assume that you don't know about League because you've had your head down working on a game. So Leonard's game is called Go to Bed. Tell us about Go to Bed.
Yeah, it's available on Steam right now and iOS. It's a hand-drawn little cutesy horror game. I guess horror is sort of a stretch. it's spooky. It's almost, as Nathan put it, it's a bedroom defense game. You're a little boy in bed, yes. And these shadowy hands creep in, and you have to tap or click them away, depending on what platform you're using. It's fun. I think it's really cute. Music's fun. Don't get the wrong impression that it's just a clicker game. That the difficulty ramps up, and there's some neat little things you have to do. Mm-hmm. But we just launched it last week. Reviews are mixed, but that's okay. It's our first game. I'm excited about it. I did all the art and music, so that's getting
great.
All positive reviews. So I'm
awesome.
Happy with that.
So Nathan was gameplay then.
Yes, Nathan and my brother John did the programming. I know less about that than I do mm-hmm. League of Legends now. So.
Yes,
and this is the game you made in Game Maker, right?
Yes, right. The guys made it in Game Maker. I would sit in the testing and tell them what they did wrong, which was completely frustrating for them because I have no way to really communicate other than that looks stupid.
So there were barriers you had to overcome with the art and the music in terms of how it was implemented in the game?
Sure. Everything I did was hand-drawn.
Nice.
And then I send it to Nathan, and he sends me email after email about how much he loves the art but hates me as a person. Because then he has to, process the artwork, and that's hours and hours. When I can draw something in 10 minutes, it takes Nathan like an hour to bring it into Game Maker and make it the right size. Yeah. And then, of course, when we tried to make the game widescreen, that borked everything else. So it was a nightmare on their end. I'm really, I had a great time.
You're just drawing away, composing. Yeah. I imagine you with like Johann Sebastian Bach hair or Beethoven hair, just like having a wonderful time.
Okay.
I wish I had that hair.
Yeah, I was going to say. It was the weirdest thing for us. I've known Nathan via email for years, like 6 years.
Sure.
And then he did a video for us, and I finally got to see what he looked like.
Yeah.
It was just the weirdest thing. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so I have a website. You can see I look like if you want.
I don't want to break the illusion.
Michael J. Fox. That's what I get all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm more Woody Allen on the inside.
Hmm. You
know, nice.
I don't know if that's good or not.
Disapproving noises.
Right.
So is this the first game that you had worked on?
Yes, it is. I started out as a writer with agents for years, mm-hmm. and just couldn't sell any work. And then my now wife suggested that I go back to illustrating, go back to drawing. And I did that and immediately had a new agent and immediately sold a children's book I'm under an NDA sort of at the moment, so I can't say who, but in 2017, it's one of the big houses. There's four left and it's one of those guys. So that's really exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
I should have listened to her sooner. Thank you. And really, she's my Tabitha. Stephen King has a story about his wife. She's absolutely my Tabitha. My career was going nowhere, and I finally listened to her. And really, in a matter of months, we sold a book. I had a new agent, sold a book. It's incredible.
That is awesome.
In the midst of that, I had met Nathan at the restaurant I work at, and he's friends with my brother who works at a mom and pop game shop here in Bennington, Vermont. And we just all became friends. Actually, it was music that brought us together. Nathan's also a really, really good drummer, if you didn't know that about him. My brother's a good guitar player. So we just and I'm a music nerd. So we that kind of brought us together. And then we started talking about games. Wouldn't it be fun? You know, you remember when you were a kid, and I think we've all done it. When you were younger, you would draw your own video games with no knowledge on how to how to make it a reality.
Yeah.
And so these guys took the time to learn Game Maker, and they're still learning. And actually, some great news: Sony approved. We pitched them our newest game, and they approved, and so we'll be on some Sony consoles in a few months. So that's really great. That's pretty good for a 1 year indie company to leaps and bounds.
Is that a game you can talk about or not?
Yeah, Nathan gave me permission. I let's see. It's a pixel art game. Which I've added a little to, and some music. It's really fun. It's a nuclear. It's a golf game, a side-scrolling golf game that's set in a post-apocalyptic world.
Okay,
nuclear golf. It's really fun. It's very gross and but you know, not over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's really
and you
silly.
Are doing the art for that one as well, or
I'm contributing.
Contributing,
cool. Yes,
you're also publishing books.
Yes, I've done. And that's. I get up every day, and I'm working on a new novel right now. And but for me, the art comes very, even with pixel art, comes very quickly. I didn't say it comes great. I just, you know, I'm just saying it comes quickly. And then those guys have to suffer through all the, you know, the headaches of the actual.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you talk about the inspiration for the go-to-bed art and music?
I can. The novel that has haunted me for a long, long time is about a boy who loses his shadow, and everybody thinks Peter Pan right away. But it got very dark and very deep really quick. I won't get into that. But anyway, I had two separate agents who tried to shop this adult novel around for a really, really long time, and the story kept haunting me. And as we sort of started forming this game company, we were working originally on something else. And I had this just quick little idea. Wouldn't it be fun? I was in bed at night, and that was the inspiration. It wouldn't be neat to keep shadows at bay. And it was all wrapped up in that book that I spent 2 years, maybe like 3 years and two agents and a lot of heartache. You know, a lot of revisions. It was just spawned from that.
Wow.
Really.
How would you describe the art style?
I have influences. I have people that I admire. I love Edward Gorey, who was a children's book artist, for a very strange man, a recluse. I can relate. I everybody sees it and they see the Halloweeniness of it, mm-hmm. I guess, right? And they say Tim Burton. I don't see the Tim Burton thing. I'll take the compliment. I think it's closer to Edward Gorey, and actually Jim Henson is probably my biggest hero in the world, and all the people that actually brought his imagination to life. You know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Wow, that sounds fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how did you get started in art? Like, were you drawing at three, or what was going on there?
Sure, I was. You know, or first or second grade, small elementary school, maybe 500 or 600 kids, and I was the art kid. Even in second grade, you know, I was drawing at like a high school level. But then, of course, you get to high school where all the elementary schools merge, and there's one or two artists who were incredible, and I was no longer the nobody cared about me anymore. So I quit. I walked away from it, and the only thing I drew for years was really naughty things on people's, you know, stuff. Really, for a really long time. It wasn't until my wife said, you know, just last year.
Stop drawing penises on things.
Exactly. I didn't want to say it, but you said it. That's exactly what I'd do.
She's a smart lady. She has good ideas.
So I'll pass this on to you because this is a lot of fun. You draw, you know, 100 of them on a page or whatever, 50. And then you cut them out and then you hide them in your friend's things. You find them for years. It's great.
Oh my gosh.
They're like the glitter of art. You can make your own confetti.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was my wife. She's in a kindergarten classroom and invited me to come do something for the kids, and it was their reaction.
Not that, I hope.
They love drawing genitalia at that
age. No. I did some little silly wizard thing. I made a coloring book out of the artwork, and I passed it out to everybody. And it was the reaction and the teacher's reaction and the parents' reaction to that. And I thought, well, maybe I can do it. And I got together. I didn't think I was going to write for children. I had it in my mind that I wanted to be the next, you know, Stephen King. And
we all do.
Yes, we all do. And everything I do has a, you know, that Halloween-y dark vibe. But I got a little portfolio together. I sent it out to some agencies thinking I would get some side work as an illustrator. Mm-hmm. And the agent I have now emailed me back in 10 minutes from that first email. And 10 minutes later, emailed me and said, I'm coming to Vermont for a conference. I want to meet you in person. A month later, she signed me on the spot and asked me, you know, did I write for children? And I kind of I thought of a few ideas that evening. I thought I'd kind of blown the meeting. And like I said before, I just can't believe how fast this has happened. I made up a couple ideas on the spot, and she picked one the next day, and we passed it back and forth, and we sold it.
That's great.
That was amazing. Yeah. That's like a Cinderella story.
Yeah.
Seeing the book tank and not sell anything in 2017.
Say that.
But I could probably paste a whole wall with rejection letters. Oh, so. Yes.
So could I. I've been at it for over 10 years. And, you know, every once in a while a magazine would accept something or I'd get a nice rejection that wasn't a standard. Dear author, you're terrible. You know, every once in a while, and Stephen King's agent at the time wrote me a handwritten letter before email. This is how far we're going back. You know, you were posting all of these query letters to agents, and he wrote me a handwritten letter, which I have now framed, which gave me a lot of encouragement. And it basically said, I don't know who you are, and I don't really care, but if you keep at it, I'm sure you'll do fine.
Wow. So,
that's cool.
So that was good. You know, those, I'd say for anybody that's trying to do anything creative, you just have to have thick skin and internalize all that anguish and you know, turn it into creativity.
And otherwise, keep working, though. Keep working on it. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. That's wonderful. I'm so happy.
I know. It's like, it can happen, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting that it took a complete genre change.
It did.
To something that you hadn't done before in the publishing world. That's so cool.
I'd never even considered it. I'd never even thought about it. Like everyone else, I'd read Harry Potter. I'd you know, and I loved children's books when I was a child, but I just never even considered it. And it seems to be the path, and I'll stop rambling, but the book that you know, that I worked on for all those years and wrote, you know, I'm on my sixth or seventh novel that probably will never see the light of day. But that one got so close, and I had so much heartache around it. I decided after I got this new agent, Emily Mitchell, by the way, of Wernick and Pratt. She's a great agent.
Thank you.
I decided to take that book, and I said to myself, what would it sound like if Roald Dahl wrote it, right? And I rewrote it, and I sent it to her expecting a ton of notes, expecting, you know, a good kick in the seat of the pants. And she loved it, and she's shopping that now too, middle grade version of that book. So I guess I did. I finally found where I should be, or I was told by my wife what I should be doing.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. The Stephen King story is really great. Do you guys know that story?
No.
So Carrie, which was his first novel, he wrote like, I don't know, it was like 30 pages or something like that, thought it was terrible and threw it in the garbage. And then his wife picked it up and read it and said, you know what, maybe you should keep working on this one.
Yeah.
So it's funny that it was in the garbage, like literally. So, yeah.
And it launched him, you know, he's a household name, whether you like him or not. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to like him. Come on.
Never delete anything.
Yeah. Okay. Leonard, what advice would you give to someone who kind of wants to do art for games? I know this is your first game.
Sure.
But like, how did you sort of get into that place? And what would you tell people who want to get in that place?
Well, it's a very organic thing for us for Touch Fight Games because we're all friends and we decided to do it together. Other than just do it, do it with some friends, I really wouldn't know. There's so much to it. The art that I did is, like I said, hand-drawn 2D. Mm-hmm. And there's animations and things involved. Yeah. But gosh, as we all know, if you look at Go to Bed versus, the Star Wars Battlefront, I don't know, what are those guys doing?
Yeah.
That's motion capture? I have no idea. That's incredible.
Yeah.
So I guess it all depends. I'm not the guy to ask for advice.
I think working with friends is great advice, though.
It
I feel like then you have a core group of people who can keep you motivated and you can keep learning things together rather than just kind of swimming along on your own, wondering if you're doing anything right. So, I mean, when I write, I don't do art, but when I write, I love to collaborate with friends and just bounce ideas off them. Or, as my roommate calls me out for all the time, vague tweeting verbally about when I'm writing, like, oh, I can't talk to you right now. These characters are mad. And he's like, why? Why? Why can't you just tell me what's going on? Just, is that going to ruin the novel for you? What's going on? I'm like, no, I can't tell you.
Yeah. You know, Stephen King's advice on that is to not let anybody see anything until you're done with your first draft.
Yeah.
Because I love Stephen King, and so his book on writing.
It's a great book.
It's great, you know. There's lots of things that you totally wouldn't think of doing. So that's awesome.
For writers who are listening and you girls too, the biggest editing tool for me is reading out loud. I'll record into my phone and then listen back. And wow, it just shows how bad you are. If it's not conversational and it's bad.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to find their voice and their rhythm.
Yeah.
But if it makes no sense when you're listening to it out loud, it shines a light on all those holes and all those missing pieces. It's a really good tool. I'd say that's the best one that I know.
Definitely.
Awesome.
I totally agree with that.
So, Leonard, is there anything else you want to add about Go to Bed?
Buy it.
Did we talk about what platforms it's for and stuff? And
it's on Steam right now, and then also iOS.
Yeah.
We'll probably stop there. Steam, I would say, is a very casual game, and I think it's kid friendly. I would say moms check it out. It might be a little spooky, so you have to decide if you know what's right for your kid.
Yeah,
but Steam is not really a casual gaming.
They can be very brutal, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, they can.
They're not nice people on Steam.
Not really. I've read, you know, I'm doing my best not to curse. I'm doing my best. I have a mouth like a sailor right off port, so it's you know, I'm back if I've been quiet at the beginning. That's
You're
all.
You're doing just, well. You
do. Yes, relatable. Yeah.
But I read some things that would make Satan blush, and it's from, it's from people who it's just first impression, which is a big deal. But they look at it, they see a 30-second video, they don't play it, they don't try it out, and they're immediately like, this is the most terrible thing I've ever seen. Why is it on Steam? You guys should go to hell and die. They wouldn't say those things to your face, but right. You know, they're able to do it.
It's like apparently the existence of your game on Steam is keeping some something else off there, right? Is that how Steam works?
That's the mentality for a lot of folks, I feel like. Yeah.
We could have had the next BioShock by now if Go to Bed weren't on Steam. Right.
I love all art. I appreciate it. And I just when I write and when I play music, I don't understand the – well, I understand competition. I was a pretty good Call of Duty player myself. Good kill-death ratio. But when it comes to art and something like on Steam – you don't like it, so what? Move on. You don't have to buy it. We're not making you buy it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be our things. You know, it's just the way the world is. YouTube comments that go on tangents about racism and everything else. It blows my mind. And I would just like to gather all those folks up, all of those probably 10-year-old kids, and slap, you know.
Give them a gentle hug and teach them the meaning of happiness.
I don't understand why. Why are you so mad?
No, I don't. People need new hobbies.
Yes.
What else was I going to say? Something about... Well...
So we can get it on... We can get it for our iPads too, right?
Yes.
That's
what
I'm going to do. I think.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we do actually... Nathan used to make freelance video content for us, and he did a video on how to use GameMaker.
Yes.
And I believe he used Go to Bed as his example. So he was kind of playing around with the art assets in there, and that video was on the Pixelkin YouTube channel.
Yeah.
If anyone listening is curious about the GameMaker side of Go to Bed and wants to check it out, that video is totally there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put it in the show notes too.
Yeah.
And it's very cute.
Yeah.
Good job.
Nice.
I'll try to counteract some of those trolls on Steam.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
We just got a draft of the review in, but I haven't looked at it yet.
Ooh.
It was really, really hard to get somebody to do the review because Nathan knows everybody.
Oh, sure. No.
Or has helped everybody who's a freelancer in games. So, like, I knew two people to just cross off the list immediately. And I'm like, okay, who else do you know? And it was like... at least like 80% of the people that we have run for us already.
I mean, but that alone is what sort of made sense for us to give this a shot because he knows so many people. He has so many connections. We would be foolish not to try it, you know, the three of us guys. And I'm in this particular case, Go to Bed, I did the music and art, but my brother John is a brilliant artist and an incredible musician. Same with Nathan. So there's a lot of creativity coming from all sides, which slows us down, actually.
Yeah.
it really does. It slows us down. But, you know, we're a bit ADD. We start a project and leap ship and jump to something else.
I feel you on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, congratulations for getting the team together and completing the job. I mean, I think a lot of the folks who write these comments don't understand what it takes to really see a project through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing to be able to do. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So I think we're going to transition into – why are you sticking your tongue out at me?
I felt like I should make a face at you. It felt like the right thing to do. I'm sorry if it was wrong of me.
Anyhow
– we're going to two today. You're just getting on each other's nerves like crazy.
Yeah. I'm really tired. That's what it is.
Oh, okay.
Anna,
this is the second misunderstanding we've had today. I thought that Nicole was making finger guns at me earlier, and apparently she wasn't at all. And so I like grabbed her on the shoulder, and she was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know."
This is the serious stuff we get up to here.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a very productive meeting at
Pixelkin. Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, I had to take Anna to school this morning, and She was crying, bawling. Oh. She did not want me to go. And she's like, the door to the classroom has like one of those little like vertical type window things.
Oh,
and she was standing right there. Just, I know. Like I walked, the tears were right there when I walked out. So, and I don't usually take her to school. But my husband says she's been doing that quite a lot lately, which I don't know what the deal is with that. Because she's still tantruming at home, but
yeah,
she's very clingy lately.
Maybe when she hits three, she'll or four is the number. Sorry, I was like, I know she's a half. It's she's three and a half.
Yes,
she's like Benjamin Button. She's just aging down.
she's really into no lately, which you know is okay. She really hasn't said anything really nasty to me yet. I'm sure it's coming.
The
worst thing that she said, and I had to like hold back from laughing at her, is she said, "You're not my friend," and then walked away.
Oh no!
And I was like, okay.
Tee-hee-hee.
Exactly. Like, I was expecting something like, I hate you, but it was, no, you're not my friend.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Anyhow. Well, I'll cut you to the quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow. So
that is the hardest thing to walk off with your kid looking out the window at you and crying.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it's terrible.
I'm still traumatized, and it was 27 years ago.
Yeah. Isaac usually takes her so I don't have to worry about it. I'm the one that picks her up and it's all, mommy, you know, and so it's the opposite. But yeah. And I guess she doesn't do that all the time. Isaac just said she's been doing it lately. So I don't know.
The good thing is going on here. You know, that she probably turns away from the window in about 30 seconds and everything's fine, right?
Yeah. And they make an effort to kind of, you know, make her feel like,
okay,
hey, it's good to be here. And she has breakfast there and they have pancakes this morning. And I'm like, oh, my God, I would like to have pancakes. Like I try as hard as I can, too, to get her excited about being there.
Yeah.
But,
send me back to preschool.
Pancakes. Pancakes.
I'll do it. I'd fit in.
Yeah. The problem is, though, is you'd be able to reach the kitty scissors that they keep way up in the cabinet.
Yeah, I'm like three preschoolers in a trench coat.
Yeah. Although, like, even I had trouble figuring out how to open that cabinet.
Ooh.
Like, it's got some
really... Why were you opening the cabinet?
Because I had little scissors that I was trying to put away. Because they had a Halloween sort of party last week where the parents came in early. And so Anna wanted to, you know, to make some things she wanted to cut. And I was like, okay, then we're done. I'm like, let's put this back where it came from. I saw the teacher take it out and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I'm like, I have no idea what kind of locking system they have here. But yeah, it was really insane.
Awesome.
But Halloween was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. What did you do for Halloween?
I went to my ex-roommate Carson's house and I played Shadows of Brimstone, which is a tabletop role-playing game. It's awesome. It's like a Wild West story meets Cthulhu and Lovecraft universe. So basically you go into this mine and you're just roaming around looking for clues. And at a certain point you find a portal to another world and there are horrible, horrible monsters there. And you kind of go through and after you find the two clues, which you know are on random tokens that you turn over, you get the boss battle, which in our case, every time I play it, I swear to God, it's this massive, horrible monster with a billion tentacles coming out of his mouth. We somehow managed to beat him, even though we were all half dead by that point, and we're facing like 60 void spiders. The thing I love about it the most is that I play a nun in the game, you know, because it's Wild West, but the nuns cast quote unquote spells. Basically by saying sermons. So there are judgment sermons and blessing sermons. So I can heal people by saying a blessing sermon and I can cast like hellfire by doing a judgment sermon. And it is such a delight. I really enjoy it. Yeah. So that's what I did for Halloween. I was really lazy. I didn't even have a costume. I failed on all fronts this year.
I didn't have a I sort of had a costume. I had my T-shirt costume that said 404 error.
Ah, that
costume not found.
I like that.
Yeah. Isaac actually dressed up as Superman.
Nice.
Because he's just basically like through the iPad with Amazon, you know, costume things and said to Anna, like, pick out which costume you want me to wear. And she picked Superman.
Nice.
Kind of cool. It doesn't really go with her,
her Spider Queen
outfit. But speaking of like monsters and bosses, Linda came very close to beating the boss in Alpha Bear.
Yeah. It was so close, Nicole.
I'm so sorry.
It was just a hair's breadth away from beating that boss.
Yeah.
Such and I told you, the secret is for the baby boss to do a lot of two-letter words, like almost all two-letter words and maybe one three-letter word.
And what were the bears that you used?
I used Frog Prince,
Jolly Bear,
and Goldilocks.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Jolly is like the Christmassy type one?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have him leveled up to huge, just gigantic.
Oh my God.
I think it's possible now. There for a while I was like, no, can't be done.
But now we know.
Now we know.
Because of the Reddit thread
where
people strategize about Alpha Bear.
Yeah.
Which makes me so happy. Did you do anything for Halloween, Leonard?
I did. I worked and then went to a costume party.
Hey. What was your costume?
I was, I'll email it to you girls, but I was I was the witch from Snow White.
Oh, that is my dream costume.
Oh, that's so great. I love that.
I put it all together from the house is Halloween year round, but I put it all together from stuff I kind of last minute, and it was horrible to work in. I strapped a pillow to my chest under the costume, so it looked like I had bosoms and a belly, and I'm a bartender, so I was just knocking bottles over the whole time.
Oh, my God. Welcome to my life, but
it was horrible. I had to strip down to the witch tights I was wearing underneath and a T-shirt. So
it's really awful
for the people that – yeah, I went all out. I did it 100%.
Nice.
I had the striped tights on.
So
it was awful
witch.
For the people I had to wait on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My barista said he was going to be classic Princess Leia.
Oh, nice.
But he had this full beard, and I was like,
Heck yeah. All right. Go
you
for
rock
it.
That, Princess yeah. Leia.
I like
very
it.
Very funny. So one of the reasons I am exhausted. One of the reasons I am tired is because I have been playing Rise of the Tomb Raider at night. Rise of the Tomb Raider is not out yet. We got a press pre-release copy, so I can't talk about it that much. Except I can say I'm playing it, and it is a game where you do stuff.
That is certainly a fact.
Lara Croft is the main character.
Whoa.
And she visits a snow-covered environment and also like a very hot, deserty environment. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, I can't really say anything.
Can you say whether you like it so far?
No, I don't think she can. No.
Okay.
Very jealous.
Me
very
too.
Jealous.
We are all so proud of her. No, sorry, go on.
Great.
Yeah, I totally freaked out when they sent me the code because I thought there's no way because like it takes a while for as a gaming outlet to kind of build up your clout with the press people mm-hmm. where they will send you something and like I just emailed them like a month ago and said you know can we put you on the list and they're like okay you're on the list and then it came in and I think I yelled something not appropriate in the office and said I just got a Tomb Raider code.
Because you're a fan of the series, too.
Oh, huge fan of the series.
Yeah. Maybe they knew that about you.
Maybe.
Well, this does not explain Ubisoft and Media Molecule's neglect of me.
Yeah, that's I don't know. True. Maybe somebody.
You are a bigger name than I am.
Yeah,
so
somebody remembers
my
name. It's a PR people. It's so amazing.
You're good.
They are good. Like, I could change 5 jobs and they will find me and send me things. Like the robots that I got sent.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah. So that is mostly what I have been playing. Before that, I was playing Alpha Bear and Hearthstone.
Yes.
And a cool thing about Hearthstone, I'm just going to throw in real quickly today. For the first time, you can play co-op in their Tavern Brawl where you're going up against this, oh my God, it's actually crazy, crazy hard guy, which is why you're doing co-op. But it's pretty neat because like – you need to heal each other and kind of pay attention to what one person has on the screen. Like if they have a minion that gains attack or something when you cast the spell, you try to cast the spell as many times as you can so that he's all buffed up on the next turn. And it is really, really cool. It's really neat. And
I like that.
Yeah, I can't wait to try it with my husband because we can sit side by side then and see exactly which cards we have in both hands so that we can strategize a little more. Because if you're doing
is that legal? Is that strictly legal?
If you're doing it with somebody, you know, that you just get paired up with,
you can't
see their hand. So I don't know. I guess you have to be friends with them to enter chat. I was going to say maybe you could chat back and forth, but they would have to be a friend anyhow. So so Rise of the Tomb Raider, the review will be on Remeshed on Monday as soon as the embargo lifts. Remeshed is our sister site that is about women gamers. So it's written by women for women gamers and the people who love them. We love boys, too. They're allowed to come and read our stuff. So hopefully you will come and read my Tomb Raider review.
Yeah.
So, Simone.
So,
besides I'm not going to say besides. Just do it.
Is there any other game in the world besides Assassin's Creed Syndicate? I deleted everything else off my PlayStation. I threw the PS3 out the window, and then I stepped on it. I smashed my iPhone with a hammer because the only game that exists or matters is Assassin's Creed Syndicate, and I will be contacting every other company just to let them know they don't need to make games anymore. Like, it's done. This is it. This is the one.
Well, wait a second. Media Molecule.
Oh, you raise a good point, Nicole. So Media Molecule and, of course, Go to Bed are the only other games.
Well, we're making more. A Touch Fight is allowed, right?
Oh, Touch Fight games can say. Yeah, sorry. No, I was the one who left all those reviews on Steam. It was me. No.
Ouch.
I love Syndicate so much. I don't remember what exactly I said last week when I went into what was no doubt a long-winded screed about how wonderful it was. Just know that when I finally finished the game, it got even more wonderful. And I think they really fixed some of the issues with Unity that I had that I did not think Ubisoft would address. So when Unity came out, it was very, very buggy. And people also responded horribly to the story and Arno's character, saying, you know, he doesn't have a personality, he's not interesting, which I always disagreed with. And my concern with Syndicate was that they would see that feedback, not just the feedback about it being buggy, which was true, but also the feedback about the character and, frankly, how friendly he was for me as a female player. I love Arno. I think he is charming as heck. And the fact that he loves and respects the women in his life was really appealing to me. So I was like, please, God, Ubisoft, don't roll back on those changes. Like, take into account what I want from your games. They absolutely did pander to me personally. The character Jacob, who I really was not sure I would like from the trailers. If you watch the trailers for Assassin's Creed Syndicate, which I did, all of them, again, in a row because I have no life, it looks very grimdark. Like, Evie's very grim. She doesn't have a lot going on. She's killing people, and Jacob is very grim, and he's killing people. And then when you start the game up, they're both charming. They both have buttloads of personality. And Jacob especially really surprised me as a male character, as, you know, the male assassin in the game. He has a lot going on in terms of his conflict with the Assassin Brotherhood and why he isn't as comfortable as his sister Evie with the assassin lore, and she, in turn, is just an incredible character. She's charming, she's funny, she's kind, she's, you know, no-nonsense and incredibly intelligent, but she also loves her stupid brother to death, and the family dynamics between them gave me life, and the game really had a lot of heart, which is something that I felt was that Unity at the end of it kind of killed its heart, essentially. I'm going to spoil Unity here. So the female character, it's a love story. It's about Arno and Elise. Elise is a Templar. And they're in love, and they're, you know, going through the game, kind of dancing around each other and working together and against each other. And then at the end, of course, she dies, because that's what freaking Assassin's Creed games do. They kill the female character. And it was just like, at that point, because Arno's whole life, which we have seen, and from the time he was 9 years old to now in the game, we've seen his whole life revolve around her. And at that point when she died, I was like, okay, so we're not going to get any more stories about Arno because he has literally nothing left to live for. Like, I can't picture a happy ending for this character. He's going to go jump off of Notre Dame now because he has nothing. He's not that close with the Assassin Brotherhood in Paris either. So
he's not going to land in a haystack.
No,
then.
There are no no more haystacks in Paris. And I feel like, I won't spoil Syndicate, but I think they really learned their lesson about how to maintain interest in characters and how you can tell a mature adult story but not have it be like, not have everything be taken away from the characters. Like, give them something to live for. Give us a reason to care about them living. And anyway, so I really, really, in every way, Syndicate improved on things that I didn't even really realize I didn't like about Unity until I had them in Syndicate. So that's my endorsement for Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Good Lord.
I am so sorry. I literally haven't been talking about anything else for probably a week. I was at a recital last night, and I was just like, I don't think I can make conversation with anyone because all I can think about is Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Oh, my God. Wow. I'm that person.
Wow.
Anyway.
Linda, so I know Alphabear. Anything
played
else?
Alphabear. I played The Land of Ven, Numeric Storms, which is a great little math game. I had done Geometric Defense before, and Numeric Storms, I think, is better than Geometric Defense. You're quickly adding up numbers to get to certain numbers. And the game's very frantic. And the idea is that you're kind of building your, I think they call it fluency. So you can very quickly add up numbers. And I don't know how little kids could play the game. It was like really hard for me, even though I was drilled by the nuns as a child. So I can
Did
add
they
numbers
cast spells
up.
On you?
Yeah. Yeah. These are real nuns, not the fake kind.
Are you calling me a fake nun?
You are a fake nun. Yes, you are. I know from real nuns. Anyway, yeah.
They cast rulers on her numbers. Yeah. That's
wow.
Actually, my nuns were nicer than that.
Ah, good.
But they did drill me on arithmetic and spelling, and I'm good at all that stuff. And it was challenging. But it's a really fun game. I totally recommend it. I mean, if you want to exercise your brain a little bit, take out Land of Ven, Numeric Storms. And I think it's $2.99 on the App Store. But they just announced that they're going to put out a free version with ads, which I'm not that thrilled about. Mm. But I guess the revenue model is getting pretty difficult for them. And yeah. So they're just trying to survive.
Yeah,
it's hard for the indie developers to survive.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially in the education space.
Yeah, exactly.
But also the parents are actually really used to paying money for apps. Like,
yeah,
you know, the companies like Originator and Avakito, which I just discovered, you know, and Tokuboka and Sago Mini, like – They charge $2.99 and $2.99 or higher, and people love them.
I'm kind of for that. You know, this developer actually criticized parents a little bit in an article on a games and learning website where he said the parents aren't looking at the games to find out what the high-quality games are. They're just buying them or downloading them because they're cheap or free.
Right.
And then you end up with a game that's really not very good.
Yeah.
And so I would just say to parents, there's a huge difference between a bad math game and a good math game.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So, you know, try to play it yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And then and you'll find out what the difference is. Good game design is worth paying for.
Yes, yeah. And usually if you find a developer that has given you a good game that you like, look for more games from them.
Absolutely.
So, because like I said, I found some companies I really like, so those are the ones I'm downloading.
Yeah.
For Anna, we've downloaded some really terrible ones, like for free. But like, you know, I watch her as she plays them, you know, so I can find out which one she comes back to. When she comes back to some of the They're not terrible, but some of the ones that I don't really like that much because they have annoying VO or Monkey Math School
Sunshine.
but she goes back to them and plays them. So
yeah, well, you're doing a good job as a parent to keep an eye on it. I think it's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just downloaded a really cool app for her called Think Rolls. It's from Avokado. I'm doing their DNA play for the latest Anna's apps. And it's like a puzzle thing. You've got this little ball person that you have to roll through like a level of things. So he rolls down straight and you just have to move objects around so that they can roll down. It's like doing like an actual puzzle in a video game that you would have to do.
Nice.
It's really, really cool. But she's kind of stuck. Because it's getting really hard. But she, like, you unlock the characters as you complete the puzzles. And she's like, Mommy, I want to lock these on characters. And I was like, no, you have to finish the puzzles. Like, you have to earn them. And then the whole concept of earn was something that we had to explain to her. Like, Mommy and Daddy go to a job to earn the money that we use to buy food and clothes and everything else. So that's
a good lesson.
That's the concept that she's struggling with right now. So anyhow.
Abstract learning from video games.
Yeah, hey. So we're going to wrap it up for this week.
Did Leonard talk about what he's playing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Leonard, what have you been playing?
Call of Duty or something
No,
else?
I have no interest in the newest two. But I'm on my third year of Simpsons Tapped Out on my phone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I've been playing Terraria on the PlayStation 4
with
my brother.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, we've heard lots of good things about Terraria.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. Then now on that note, we're going to wrap things up. Leonard, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And if you have questions or comments, you can send those to hello@pixelkin.org. You can find us on Facebook, simply Pixelkin. You can find us on Twitter, @pixelkin_org and @gamingwithmoms. And our YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/pixelkin.org. And we're also on Blog Talk Radio, and I think I got everything
Heck
this
yeah.
time. All right. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week. This podcast was recorded in the studios of the Jack Straw Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington.